This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on March the 1st, 2007. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The second item on our agenda involves draft advisory opinion 2007-03 by Senator Barack Obama and the Obama Exploratory Committee. We have presenting Mr. Ron Catwan and Amy Rothstein from the Office of General Counsel. Mr. Catwan.
I apologize.
I've just been reminded by the Vice Chairman. We do have a procedural step before we begin our discussion, which is that we have a late submitted document. Mr. Vice Chairman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move suspension of our rules concerning the timely submission of documents so that we may consider agenda document 0712A.
Very good. The Vice Chairman has so moved. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Madam Secretary, if you could record the Vice Chairman's motion has been adopted by a vote of 5-0. I'm sorry, Mr. Catwan.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The draft advisory opinion before your response to request on behalf of Senator Barack Obama and Obama for America, his principal campaign committee. The request asks whether Senator Obama may solicit and receive contributions for the 2008 presidential general election without losing his eligibility to receive public funds if he receives his party's nomination for president. To preserve his eligibility to receive public funds, Senator Obama proposes first, to deposit all private contributions designated for the general election in a separate account. Second, to restrict access to the account. And third, to refrain from using any funds in that account until he has decided whether to receive public funds for the general election. If Senator Obama becomes a candidate in the general election and decides to receive public funds, he would refund all private contributions from the separate account in full. The draft concludes that, under the facts presented here, Senator Obama may solicit and receive private contributions for the 2008 presidential general election without waiving eligibility to receive public funds. If Senator Obama decides to receive public funding, then he must refund all contributions designated for the general election in full within 60 days after Senator Obama certifies his eligibility to receive public funds under 11 CFR 9003.2A2. The Commission received one comment on the draft, and I will be happy to address any questions. Thank you.
Very good. Discussion? No? Okay. Vice Chairman Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to start by addressing the amendments, but rather I just wanted to address the general topic. First, to note that the overall enterprise that I think all of us are about and all of us agree on is preserving the flexibility for candidates to get back into the public financing program for the general election if they choose to do that. And I think that is a policy objective that we all agree on and we all agree is a worthy one. And I just want to note that it requires, as all of us understand and as some people who've commented have noted, a little bit of flexibility in terms of the procedures. We're using distinctions between solicit and receive and accept in a highly technical way to get to what I think we all agree is an acceptable policy result. And in other contexts, that's sometimes called creating loopholes or not enforcing the law or something like that. And I just want to make the point in passing that those concerns are expressed, I think, largely when people disagree about the policy result that we're getting to. And that's fine. But that power, that flexibility can be used for good purposes or bad ones. And whether you assess them as good or bad may well depend upon your outlook. But I just find it curious that some of the people who sometimes criticize us for flexibility are happy to see it here, and I'm happy with them. I also want to note, as all of us understand, and one of the amendments gets to this issue, that this is probably not the last time we will have to face this issue. We may be here a year from now after a round of February primaries with another candidate who has a slightly different factual circumstance or of somewhat more concern to me. We may be here a year and a half from now on the eve of a party convention trying to work out something related to this. While I personally would have preferred to put a little more structural support behind our opinion, I understand my colleagues' reservations in that regard, but I just want to outline now, in case it does happen, some of my concerns about some of the things that might happen, and specifically because I don't want to be in the position, for instance, of having someone come to the commission and say, well, my circumstances are somewhat different, and can I do X, Y, and Z, and in essence have the commission be in the position of if Senator Obama or someone situated just as he is wins the nomination, issues this challenge to their general election opponent, and the general election opponent turns around and says, well, I'd love to take you up on that, but the FEC tells me I can't. Okay, I don't want us to be there because I don't think we ought to be playing that kind of a role, you know, in the presidential process, either having, frankly, to exercise that critical of a decision-making function at a late point in the process, being used, if we're being used or maneuvered into a position by parties to try to gain advantage one way or the other. The other place this could come up, obviously, is in the case of the vice presidential nominee, who's going to be under the same restrictions. And I don't think any of us would want the commission to be in the position of, as it were, vetting the vice presidential nominees to see whether or not it would be okay for a presidential nominee who wants to accept public funding to nominate this particular person to be vice president. And so I'm a little bit concerned that there are unanswered questions here, but no matter what we do, we're not going to be able to answer them all today, it may well require some further exploration later on. That being the case, I think it's the proper policy result here on the facts presented to give this answer, and at some point, I don't want to cut off other more general discussion, but I'd be happy to offer these amendments as well.
Very good. Yes, no, I think that we all are aware that this this question presents itself in the context of a situation where, for the first time since 1976, the public financing system may not be used by either candidate for either major party in either the primary or the general election. The reality of that may be that the public financing system is no longer viable, and that this opinion is being considered in that context. We have, we'll vote in a few minutes. We'll see how it turns out. But I predict that we will approve the draft and answer the question presented by Senator Obama in the affirmative, that he can do what he is proposing here. Or if he does what he is doing here, then he could still qualify. That result was not a foregone conclusion. We spent time thinking about that, and we received, I thought, very constructive and thoughtful comments from the Campaign Legal Center and from Democracy 21 that argued for a different outcome. And while we ultimately chose a different analysis and interpretation of the statute, I thought that those comments and the time and energy that people put into spending those comments were very, very helpful. Much of the discussion we've had around this and the thinking that has gone into this in the last couple of weeks has been about the implications. What next? Because I thought my sense was that the question presented was easier to solve than the questions which were not presented, we have thought through, and Commissioner Vice Chairman Mason has just alluded to a number of the implications or the unanswered questions that present themselves specifically for candidates that do not find themselves in exactly the situation that Senator Obama finds himself in. There are questions related to what, for example, candidates that have already begun raising money for the general election and have spent some of that to cover fundraising costs. Senator Obama has set forth that he will segregate these funds and use none of them, and that was important in our reaching this decision. What are the implications for candidates who, you know, in the period prior to the issuance of this advisory opinion, did spend some of those funds they were permitted to by law? Does that change the outcome? Senator Obama has indicated that he will put these in a separately segregated fund. For candidates in other contexts, that is not required by our regulations. Candidates can commingle their general and primary election funds in a single account. What if somebody has done that? Could they cure that and transfer those funds out, or would they have to? I mean, there are many, I think, unanswered questions. We have done the simpler task of asking the questions which were asked of us, but the I think for candidates in somewhat different circumstances, there are many unanswered questions. The point I would like to emphasize is that we explicitly in this advisory opinion and more generally encourage candidates that are considering following this path or who think, as Vice Chairman Mason has indicated, that come convention time they might want to take advantage or accept the proposal presented by Senator Obama, that they ask about what they would have to do now. We have tried to move this on an expedited basis. We're answering this question approximately 30 days after it was asked of us, about half the time that we're permitted under the statute. And looking back at last year, answered a number of these expedited advisory opinions in more like a 20-day time period. And there's no doubt that a lot of work on the general counsel's side among the commissioners here was put into trying to move this out as quickly as we could so that we were able to provide answers in a real-time framework for the campaigns and for people trying to make these decisions. And I'm sure on their side they think 30 days is very long. But we have begun thinking about already how other parts of our regulations would impact or affect other kinds of candidates and other kinds of fact patterns already. So hopefully, to the degree that other candidates are interested in doing something like this, they will ask our views. Hopefully, we will be able to respond in a prompt way in answering those questions and the concerns that the Vice Chairman has, which I think we all share, of finding ourselves a year and a half from now having to answer questions that are made much harder by people having engaged in a lot of different kinds of conduct already, won't present itself. Other thoughts? Vice Chairman, I'm sorry, Commissioner Von Spakovsky. One day soon.
Anticipating.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to make four points, and the first one, I think, is to follow up on something you just mentioned. And I really want to thank the staff for the speed with which and the good work they've done on this. And the public needs to know, from the time the request for an opinion came in to the time we're sitting here today for a vote is less than a month. And I don't think you'll find many federal agencies in this town who can issue an advisory opinion, which is a major piece of work and has great ramifications in that kind of a time period. And that's a credit to our staff and a credit to the commissioners who are requiring this kind of work and make sure that when we do something, we are sensitive, particularly in the election area, of getting a fast answer out. I also think we are well within the law and the opinion we're giving, and that this situation, although it's not covered explicitly in our regulations, is extremely similar to a situation that we've had for many years, and it is covered by our regulations. And that's the fact that any individual running for Congress has the ability under our regulations today during the primary season to raise contributions, not just for the primary election, but also for the general election, despite the fact that they may lose the primary and not be in the general election. And normally, if they are accepting contributions in that situation, then that would be considered an excess contribution. They would be in violation of the law. But what our regulations say is you can raise contributions for both elections. If you then lose the primary, so you're not going to be in the general election, you've got 60 days to return and refund the contribution you raised for the general election. This situation is, to me, almost exactly the same. I think not only are we well within the law and the regulations, but this is a good policy result. We all know that the public funding system rests on a very fragile base because the amount of funding for it has not kept up with the reality of elections and the soaring cost of running a national election for the presidency and the vice presidency. The final thing I'll say is, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the work that you and the vice chairman have done, particularly with these final amendments, which I think take care of some of the other concerns that commissioners had. I intend to support both the amendments and the main advisory opinion, and I would say, given the early start that we've had to this presidential campaign season, somebody has already said to what is a very crowded field, in fact, the most crowded field I think I've seen, they've already been told the equivalent of, and we recently had a NASCAR case before us, of gentlemen and ladies, in this case, start your engines. And with this advisory opinion, when we adopt it, I think we'll be waving the green flag for the real start of the race. Thank you.
Very good. Other Commissioner Weintraub?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's interesting that Commissioner Von Spakovsky was thinking of NASCAR, because I had a similar image in mind as I was thinking about this. I mean, obviously, we could have come to a different conclusion, and it's really a pleasure to come to the table on a day like today where the Commission has worked hard to reach a consensus, and I think we are all in agreement on this, and it's shows that the agency is working well, working hard and working well. We could have come to a different conclusion, but I think we're coming to the right conclusion. I think it would be wrong for the agency to stand on a wooden interpretation of its regulations and of the statute while the public financing system crashes and burns. It's my allusion to NASCAR. I think that also as an old compliance hand, you know, we're just coming off of what I think really has objectively can only be described as a very successful year for the Commission, where we collected record penalties. But it gives me no pleasure to collect huge amounts of money from people who have violated the law. I would far prefer that they not violate the law in the first place, and a very good way of avoiding that is to ask for advice in advance of doing something, particularly if you're kind of on the edge. I appreciate Senator Obama's ingenuity and his innovation, and I also think he's being very cautious in his approach, and I appreciate that as well, that he came in and asked beforehand. And I think it's a good policy result that we're adopting here, and I think it's well-founded. And like many of the results that we achieve, you know, one can argue it this way or one can argue it that way, but I think we are coming to the better result, and I will be pleased to support the result and the amendments.
Thank you. Commissioner Walther?
Just to add to that, I also want to thank the staff, too, because I know when this came in, we've been under a lot of pressure to do some other things, and the priority was clearly to get this out as quickly as we could, understanding the importance of it and to some degree the novelty of the question. So Ms. Duncan and Ms. Smith and Mr. Katwan and Ms. Rothstein deserve special recognition for the willingness to get this done in such a quick way and to be helpful to us in the deliberation process. The one of the amendments to be made today is to eliminate the word escrow in terms of the kind of account, and it had concern to me when that was thought to be removed, and there's a technical argument for it that I can understand, but it, to me, should not be viewed as a change in the approach that was offered by counsel for Senator Obama. And really what the Chairman Lenhardt said, I agree with very much, and that is that this is a little different, and it's helpful to us that it was seen to be more of a, and I'd like to consider it as a trust relationship that's being created, using these funds strictly for trust purposes. And so the word escrow, I think, was meant by counsel for Senator Obama to really send a notice that this is what we have in mind, that there's no deductions, there's no later requests for use for another purpose. The money goes back in full, no deductions of any kind. The word escrow has a connotation that there's a third party involved, and I think it's uncomfortable with the use of it if it were to remain, because I think you can have a trust relationship where a person has two capacities. And in this case, there's a built-in protection that's offered, namely that the candidate would not be able to withdraw the funds personally, but it would only be the treasurer and the CEO, COO, who have very different responsibilities legally. So I think it's I see it as a trust relationship and not akin, therefore, to the other ways that funds are used in a commingled way in other circumstances under our regulations. And lastly, I do think that, and I'm comfortable with the interpretation, I do understand the fact that their language is not clear, and an argument, a credible argument can be made that we can interpret receive and accept in different ways. But a recent publication that I was reading recently kind of made it clear to me that in a case like this where you look at the fundamental value that is being considered, and that is the preservation of the overall system, the overall funding program, we must look at how those words were intended, would have been intended to have been interpreted, and not be harnessed, as I think, or held hostage, I think, as Justice Stephen Breyer said in his recent book, with words that were used for purposes, but not for other purposes not yet conceived. And that certainly was the case here. I think our legislators had did not have in mind, and there's no history in the legislation that would suggest that they had this kind of situation in mind. So with that, I'm pleased to support it, and I want to thank the chairman for his leadership in moving this through as quickly as he could.
Very good. Thank you. And just to reiterate, the removal of the words escrow was, again, an acknowledgement that that term has a very specific legal meaning about third-party control, and we weren't entirely sure that that was necessary. There certainly are a number of safeguards, not the least of which being, as Senator Obama's counsel knows, were he to accept public financing, he would also have to enjoy the pleasure of a great deal of time with the FEC auditors at the end of the process, and so there is a number of safeguards in place, obviously, to discern how those funds would be used if he were to have accepted public financing. Other thoughts? Vice Chairman Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree on the escrow point. I think I was the first one who raised it, and my concern was exactly what the chairman said, that all my lawyer colleagues knew what it meant, and I thought I knew what it meant, and I looked it up, and everywhere I looked it said third party. And as I can see it, there isn't a third party here. I understand Commissioner Walter's concern that this money be completely separate, and that separateness requirement is here. If we get a different request, he and I may disagree. But at least as to this one, that's fine. And so, no, I'm not intending a substantive change, but I didn't want to confuse us by using a perhaps technically inappropriate legal term. It reminds me of a 1983 petition I saw one time that was headed habeas corpus delicti. So, with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to move approval of the draft advisory opinion with the amendments set forth in Agenda Document 0712-A, except that in the third sentence of the long paragraph in 012-A, we would strike that and replace it with who.
Very good, Madam Secretary. Is it clear which has been removed? Very good. Thank you. So the Vice Chairman has moved adoption of Agenda Document 07-10 as amended by Agenda Document 07-12 as amended by 07-12A with the addition amendment of the table replacing the word that with the word who. In the sentence that begins on the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth line of the third addendum. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed? Madam Secretary, if you could record the Vice Chairman's motion has been adopted by a vote of 5-0.